This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Expecting our 11th child. And so we have to be careful about, you know, we're limited on space and we don't want stuff just stacked up to the ceilings in every corner. You know, we like to have people over and be hospitable. But they have studies showing the anxiety caused by clutter. So that's one other reason to avoid worthless purchases.
Yeah. Less is more and more is less. Yeah.
Yep. Another way, I don't know if you wanted me to continue to kind of sharing about that. Okay, so one of the other things that causes a lot of problems, Rhett, is impatience. We're not patient. We have a I want it now or I need it now mentality. And my son, I'll give you an example. So my son is 16. He's going to be working, doing some construction, and he's looking to – he wants to have a truck. And so he just purchased this truck. I think it was 2 days ago. So we've been looking online at vehicles for like a few weeks. And I notice with him this belief that if I don't buy this vehicle, I'm going to lose this good deal. So I've got to get it now and I'm not going to find another good deal like this. But if you think about it, almost every time you start looking for something, you find good deals. And this, I was a business major in college. I have my bachelor's in business. And marketing always makes people feel like good marketing means you make people feel like they're getting a good deal. And so whenever you look for something, it's not a coincidence and, you know, that suddenly you found a good deal. There's always these good deals because that's what effective marketers do. And so when we're impatient and we feel like I've got to buy that now, I'm going to miss this good deal. And just to be clear, there are good deals, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But what happens is that I want it now or I have to have it now mentality, the impatience causes us to make purchases that we end up regretting later.
And when we let emotions lead, for instance, if you're a car salesman, the number one manipulative tool is fear of loss. Exactly what you're saying. I'm not going to buy anything for 6 months. I come in, oh, look at this red Mustang. It's last year's model, and you'll save $15,000. This is, oh, really? Well, I'm not going to buy for a few months. Well, this is it. When this goes, that'll be it. Fear of loss. Oh, okay. And you're manipulated into it. And what's really good, freeing what you just said, look, there will be another deal. There will be another, and it might be even better. Be patient.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll tell you. So here's a good principle that I encourage people to apply. This is something we do in our home. We wait two or three weeks before purchases, large purchases.
Yeah.
I don't mean to get groceries or something like that. But if you're and the reason I say to wait 2 or 3 weeks is guess when most people's regret associated with a purchase occurs. It occurs within a couple of weeks. If you buy something and you regret it, you usually experience that regret within about 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, if you're thinking of buying something, wait 2 or 3 weeks to buy it, because then you'll be able to avoid that regret. Because if you get to the end of the 2 or 3 weeks and you still want to buy it, then more than likely it's a good purchase. But there are many people that want to buy something and they decide, okay, I'm going to wait 2 or 3 weeks. And then it doesn't even have to be 2 weeks. It's just 1 week or even a couple days later. And they're like, man, I am so thankful that I didn't buy that.
Again, it's the emotional thing. It's just like you're mad at somebody. You write a text or you write an email. Just have a rule. Whoa, 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 wait at least 10 minutes, maybe wait a day. And 99% of the time, you will not end up sending that. Or you will revise it so the tone is missing that ends relationships and marriages and friendships.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, and so another nice thing, if you wait the 2 or 3 weeks, many times you'll be relieved that you didn't buy something. You'll avoid the regret.
Yeah, the I want.
Yep. And the other thing, if you're waiting the 2 or 3 weeks, it lets you do something really important, and that's research. So, because there are good deals. I'm not trying to convince your listeners, you know, that there's no good deals, Rhett. There are good deals. But the question becomes, if marketers make everything seem like it's a good deal, how do we know if we're really getting a good deal or not? And the answer is by researching. So you use the 2 or 3 weeks that you're not buying something, that you're waiting to buy something, to do the research to determine whether you're getting a good deal. And I'll give you an example here. So we outgrew our minivan, you know, that held 7 or 8 of us, and we had to get a 15-passenger van. Now, I don't know much about I don't know much about automobiles anyway, and so I sure don't know what a good deal is on a 15-passenger van. Yeah. So I start this spreadsheet, and I kind of had my little formula where, based on the year, the mileage, the model, the make, whether something was to help figure out whether it's a good deal. And almost all vehicles were about the same, you know, pretty close. Like if it's this year, if there's this many miles, this is the cost, or this is the price. And I've got this spreadsheet and I'm putting like 50 or 60 vehicles on it. Cause every day that I get up, I look for new 15 passenger vans that are listed within like a, you know, 200 miles of our house. And I'm adding these vehicles each day, and it's given me a lot of familiarity with what vans should cost. So, you know, right, I wake up this one day and I add this minivan to my chart and I'm like, man, this looks like an incredible deal. It almost looks like there's a mistake or something because it was low miles, it was new, and it wasn't very expensive. So I called this guy and I said, can you tell me, you know, did you just post this van? Is this correct? And he said, man, you're fast. You know, I posted this thing about like 2 minutes ago. And he said, yeah, I posted it. I said, okay. And I knew right off that this was a great deal and it wasn't going to last. And it just shot off the page, you know, like you kind of picture a sine graph and then compared to all the other vans, this one just shoots off the page. So I told this guy, I said, I'm going to drive there right now to buy the van. And so that's the thing. If you're doing your research, you know when to pull the trigger. If you do your research, you know when something's a great deal or not. So I'm waiting 2 or 3 weeks. The moment I see this, I tell this guy I'm going to buy it within like 2 minutes of it, you know, 2 minutes again off the phone.
But the only thing is you gave up your power to negotiate, but the deal was good enough that was okay.
Yeah, I was willing to buy it for that price he listed. I was going to try to haggle with him when I got there, but I would buy it even at that price. And I told him, I said, okay, I've got to drive about 3 hours to get there. So I just want your word that you're not going to sell it out from under me if someone else comes in and to get it. And he says, or even if someone offers more or something, he says, if you'll commit to come here right now and you'll be here in 3 hours, I'll hold it for you. I won't sell it to someone else, even if they offer more money. So I grab my dad. We drive to the coast. We get this van. And I just said to him, and he said, man, you must have. He said, this must be, it's interesting. He didn't know whether it was a good deal or not. He said, this must have been a good deal.
Who's he, your father?
No, sorry, the guy that was selling the van.
Okay.
It's interesting. So he said, boy, you must have known this is a good deal because since you got off the phone with me, my phone hasn't stopped ringing. You know, 70, 80 different people have called me about it. And I said, and then after I bought it from him, I said, if you don't mind me asking, you know, what's kind of the story here and why were you selling this? And he said, well, it's not my van. There's a restaurant owner in town who's rich, because this is on the coast in Seaside, Oregon. And he said, there's a restaurant owner that owns many restaurants. He bought this van because he thought he would use it for his restaurant. He never used it. That's why there's low miles. I'm his friend. And he just told me he wanted me to get rid of it. And I was like,
wow.
Okay. And so then I get this van, you know, super cheap, hardly any miles on it. And it was a great van for a family. But the point though, Rhett, is I wouldn't have known that it was such a great deal unless I did my research.
You did
and had
your
this
homework. When I was going to buy a recreational vehicle, which I did years ago, I'm over the recreational vehicle. But anyway, but I looked for a year and a half. So even if you learn what you do like and what you don't like, it helps you when you finally go, okay, this is it. That's a great story you told because you knew enough. You've done enough. It's like, oh, I don't want to do Saturday. No, go out and look at cars. Go out and look at trucks. Go out and look at vans. And then you're going to recognize when that super deal comes along. But mm-hmm. I think today, though, I think I'm not sure when you did this, but can't you use your credit card and put like $100 down? So you say, I'm going to be there in 3 hours, but here's $100. And then they legally have to keep it for them.
Probably, right. Yeah, I probably could have done that. And maybe I took a chance heading out there. You know, I trusted this guy's word on the phone. And fortunately, he was good for his word.
Did he know you were a father of 10 kids?
I don't remember.
I think that would help. I would think that would help. Like, you know, you got a dad here. Be nice to this family, you know.
Yeah, I think the guy was a Christian. I could tell from some of the language. And so
you didn't ask him?
I don't remember asking him.
Did you tell him you were a pastor?
I probably did tell him that. Yeah, I told him this is a blessing. And
yeah. Okay. So. Well, that's great. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? That's a great story. See, that's the kind of thing when you're up there and you're preaching about finances, you tell that story. Jesus always punctuated with stories. You know, I get people on the show or I get preachers that talk around issues, facts, facts, facts. I belong to a writer's group, and it says, don't tell me, show me. And see how that story does that? I love stories like that. Mm-hmm. So that's a great lesson. That's a great lesson. What do you want to talk about next?
So just to review, so we've got small purchases that add up, try to avoid those. Try to avoid wasteful purchases, which just means purchases that you're not going to use. Even if it's something great, if it's not great for you, if you're not going to use it, if it's just going to sit on your shelf, then avoid that. Also, don't be like Esau. You know what I mean when I say don't be like Esau? Yeah. Esau's impatient. I just want that stew. I want it now. I need to have it. I'll give up my birthright for it. We need to. There's so many benefits in Scripture associated with patience that it's just a great virtue, you know, and it definitely applies to finances.
Esau also, you know, Esau gave up his birthright. Well, when you're the firstborn male, even to this day, there is favor with the firstborn male. God's not a man that he should lie. So when Esau was said, I'll give you my birthright, he was really saying to God, I don't care about your gift. I don't care. It means nothing to me. I want my bowl of porridge right now. And I was just thinking, I want to lose weight, right? And I was thinking, you know, you were talking about patient, wait patiently, wait a few days. Right now, I go out, I'm hungry, I'm going to have lunch a little later, and I'm thinking, be patient. Like right now, okay, so you want that ice cream. Well, right now, why don't you eat something that's protein and vegetables, and then if you still want the ice cream, and 90% of the time, you're not going to still want the ice cream. So I'm just thinking, well, I could apply that not only to finances, I can apply that to whatever you're doing, that patience is a virtue, and it puts you, here's the positive side that I never knew. I'm writing a book on dignity, and the thing is, like, I've been spending time in Vermont in the summers. The law there, as it is the law here, but they actually do they follow the law there. When somebody steps off the curb, you stop. Now, all my life, it's been about me. I got to get to the doctor. I got to get to the dentist. Now, also, I'm on the way to the dentist. A lady steps off, and she's got a baby carriage. You wait, Rhett. You're not first. Pedestrians are first. And it feels good to discipline. Says, that's right. You're gonna wait. And then comes an older man, and then comes another old lady. I'm waiting here. That's okay. I'm going to be late to the dentist. That's okay. Because you know what? They're first. You're not. And you feel better as a human having exercised that discipline. Said, no, my better self is in charge of the selfish self. Nope.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the Stanford marshmallow experiment, Rhett? Have you heard of that before? Okay. So Stanford conducted this experiment a few decades ago. They brought these children, they brought a child into a room, sat this child at a table, and on the table, they put a plate with a marshmallow. And they told the child, you can eat this marshmallow right now, but if you wait, I'll come back and I'll give you a second marshmallow. But they don't tell the kids how long they're going to have to wait. They don't tell them how long it's going to be until they return. And so,
tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
My life.